Hello and welcome to Misbehave, the podcast where we explore human behaviour in a business context. Season 3 is all about behaviour at work, how people show up, how managers lead, and how organisations build high performance cultures. We're speaking with senior leaders to uncover the thinking that drives behaviour, the trends shaping management development, and the future of work in an ever-changing world. In this episode of the Misbehave podcast, we're asking, why does every team feel like a different company? If your culture feels inconsistent, your standards keep slipping, and you're still pulled into pockets of chaos, it's not your imagination, it's a management problem. We'll unpack why this happens, what it's costing you, and how to fix it before it fractures your culture for good. Let's get into it. So today we are going to tackle that age-old problem of why does one team often feel so dramatically different to another? And I think a great way to put this into context is to think about meetings that you can sit in one team meeting and it's on point, everybody's prepared, everybody contributes, and they leave with super clear actions. But you can sit in another one and it just feels like total chaos. It runs over, there's half the room that don't contribute, and people leave without understanding what's happening next. That feels like it's a daily occurrence in so many different businesses. And we've seen it. You're not imagining that inconsistency, but that's really what we want to dig into today.
And I think, you know, you'll hear people talk about, oh, teams operate in silos. That is often the case too. But what we're talking about here is inconsistency in the way the teams are being managed. So it's more about the employee experience and how that can often vary so significantly because middle managers aren't managing in a consistent way. And sometimes that can be linked to things like, you know, just the way that they're operating meetings, but it also can be culturally. They're not embedding the culture. Some of the things that they're doing with their team is very, very different to the way someone else is working with another. And I think we see it day in and day out where some of this isn't the fault of the middle manager. It's actually because they haven't been given the opportunity to understand that, embed it, and maybe don't even have the capabilities to manage it.
Yeah, I think those managers often get promoted. I mean, we talk about them as accidental managers, but they get promoted without that formal expectation, without the real coaching and development that they need to be able to understand what those standards are. So they really are just relying on instincts or guesswork. And when you let your culture be led by that, you are going to have vastly different experiences between teams because there isn't that standard norm across the board.
And I suppose, you know, we would probably describe it as a behavioral blueprint, so that every manager becomes like, you know, they become culturally aligned.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. How do we give managers the ability to be able to understand the behaviors of their team and how to best nurture them? So what we're not saying, just for clarity, is that every manager needs to manage exactly the same way. You do need to look at your team. You need to play to your strengths. And, you know, you need to understand what your blind spots are. But this is about having some foundations, some standards, so that we can drive an employee experience that really does operate in a consistent way across all the different functions and all the different teams in an organization.
Yeah, I think this is really about producing some foundations and looking at those areas that need to be consistent in your business. So that might be how meetings are run, how goals are set, how one-to-ones happen, different cadences that really inform the employee experience, I think is often where we would say to start with this. Those become the foundations, those become the things that managers need to be more consistent with. And also this sort of common foundation of people management, you know, how do we want people to manage people here? How do we want them to have difficult conversations? How do we want them to handle conflict? How do we want them to be clipped into motivation? How do we want them to delegate? Things like that. Those become the foundations. And then you apply
flexibility around behaviors. So we know that managers will behave in slightly different ways. Some will be more action driven, some will be more analytical and reflective. So what we're not saying is that you don't want to let those behaviors flex, but you need to have some standards in place for some of those things. So for example, it might be, okay, every manager has to do a team one-to-one every month. And there is a loose format for that one-to-one. But then the manager, according to their own behavioral strengths and according to the needs of each team member, can flex how they do that one-to-one. But actually the cadence and the output that comes out of the one-to-one, say you say everybody needs to have one action that comes out of it, that's the standard that we're talking about. So it's really about looking at where you've got some of those foundations and those standards and where you can create some flex.
And I think with this, what we've got to remember is that sometimes there is a requirement for some basic process and timelines and cadence. And I think that cadence piece also links to accountability. So there's got to be some accountability in there to drive the cadence, because we know in some of the businesses we work with, they have the structure. So they might have, everybody should do a one-to-one once a month and loop back on that. But actually, there's nobody in the business that's making sure everybody is doing it. So it's also about implementing some accountability in there and loop back on the people that aren't doing it. Because, you know, you can have the best process in the world, but it's often down to people driving the process and the behavioral change that makes the real difference.
We see that time and time again. It was one of the reasons why when we built Perform, that accountability partner in the process was so important. And we've actually heard verbatim from some of the managers that we work with through the platform say, you know, I wouldn't have gone and taken that action, or I wouldn't have gone and done that piece of learning if it wasn't for the fact that I knew I was going to be held accountable. And often that's not done from a bad behavior perspective. It's not done from I don't want to learn or I don't want to implement, but it comes down to the fact that these managers, especially at that sort of team lead, middle manager layer, they're operational, and a lot of them are still billers, they're still doing client delivery, they're still customer facing. So that time is a real pressure. And actually, if the accountability isn't there to do it, often when they're looking at that to-do list and they're thinking, you know what, I've got 4 hours this week that's not taken up in delivery of some kind, guess what? It's probably going to drop down the list. So that accountability bit, it's the bit that for us is so important in our platform to make sure that it delivers the performance increases that we're looking for, but it should be that cornerstone in your business. One of the things I think is interesting to talk about when it comes to this is engagement scores, because most businesses now have some sort of way of measuring engagement, whether that's in a traditional engagement survey or doing EMPS, or whether it's something less formal, but they're measuring it in some way. But I think what's still interesting is that a lot of businesses still measure overall engagement. Yeah. And actually they don't have that recognition that engagement scores typically dip in pockets as opposed to across the whole business. And often engagement scores of any kind, when they dip, culture gets blamed.
Yeah.
But actually, when you dive deeper into the pockets of engagement that have dipped, you might well find it's less about this ethereal, abstract culture that we're all thinking about, and actually more about the managers that are managing the people and driving the culture day to day.
If you're interested in learning more about your own management behaviors and the behaviors of your team, click the link in the show notes to access a 14-day free trial of Perform.
Yeah. So I suppose just to help you understand how to break this up, we are talking here about the real impact of inconsistent management. And what Laura's describing there is really important. Like, your engagement levels within your business are definitely something that, you know, often a key KPI. They're often something that you're using as a measurement to drive decisions. So it's really important that you're doing it in the right way. And I think the other piece really with this is, if you think about the impact, we're talking about impact on, like, it can vary so widely. You might have a really high performing team over here that's doing all of the things, and their engagement scores are really high, and you're still addressing them in the same way as you are with the other team over here, where they're not following maybe some of the processes, they're not doing the one-on-ones, and the engagement levels are low. When we say the best businesses we work with, they'll really look at, dive deep into those engagement levels. And listen, it's not then around going to the middle managers that have got maybe a lower score, and you know, it's not about giving them a hard time and making them feel really bad. It's about then looking at the opportunities you can to upskill them and be able to give them the tools that they need to drive those engagement levels up. So it's also about helping you look at how you focus on solutions. One of the other points I just want to mention, and we say this, is your strongest leaders get stuck cleaning up the mess of other people. And you see those high performers diving in, they'll take over a situation, they'll sort out the chaos. And often it's because they think it's quicker, easier, and because they've got the capabilities. But imagine if you're pulling your biggest strengths away all of the time, what that's doing to their team and the productivity that they could be having.
And I think often some of this stuff can feel fairly intangible. So say you haven't got an engagement score that's showing you, we can often sense some of this middle management inconsistency, and even just the way some of the senior leaders in the business are talking about it. So they often say things like, you know, I've been pulled into lots of escalations recently and I don't know why the person that was meant to deal with it couldn't have dealt with it. Or they might say that, you know, some teams here just get it and others just don't. Or they might be talking about, why is it that when I roll out that change, or why is it that when we roll out this cultural pillar, this department just gets it and gets on board and this one doesn't? Those sorts of conversations and that sentiment that we often hear around that board table are often symptoms of the very thing that we're talking about. So sometimes it's not tangible data that is saying, you know what, your engagement score has dropped by 10 points or whatever that is. It's actually these sentimental, anecdotal conversations, but they are still showing you that there is a gap there in that management layer.
I would argue, though, Laura, you can also track just some simple stuff like, are they doing the team meetings? Mm-hmm. Are they doing the one-on-ones? Often we'll see there's a symptom off the basis of the fact that they're not doing the things that really they should be prioritizing or allocating the time to. You know, it's not, more often than enough, it's not because they don't want to do it. It's usually through time pressures and that they're prioritizing the other things you described earlier on. You know, the client-facing stuff, the deadlines, if they're still billing, they're prioritizing that. But I think it's so sometimes really simple tracking metrics can highlight this stuff. You know how I am about our team meetings, they never get moved, the one-to-ones never get cancelled, the review stuff, our huddles, like we are pretty, that cadence is ingrained in the culture of the business now, and it helps us drive accountability and we know the benefits of it. So unless absolutely essential, we don't cancel any of that stuff. So I think there are some ways and means of maybe for the listeners to think some simple tracking. So it's a combination of all, really, isn't it? It's the sentiment stuff. It's the listening to the language. Where are the escalations arising the most? Maybe some engagement stuff if you're carrying out that type of, an engagement survey, you might have that data to hand. What other things do you think could be maybe the impact? What other elements are we seeing?
I think often there's a lack of expectations, clarity around expectations. So going back to that point, often I hear senior leaders say things like, oh, we gave them the choice, or we let them choose what cadence works for them. And there is a very fine line in business between too much structure and too little structure. And again, it goes back to that. What's your non-negotiables? You know, what are those sort of foundation level things that you say, that's the stuff that happens regardless of anything else. And actually, to your point, they're then targeted and they're tracked, and then people hold them accountable to those things, so that there's almost this minimum standard. We actually saw the non-exec chief people officer role that I do, we actually created a people manager charter, which was quite interesting, and it actually was one page And it went into the expectations that we have of managers who manage people. Because sometimes it can be as simple as that. It's not always just about the metrics. That's one big piece of it. What's the expectation around those things that you mentioned about one-on-ones and things? But if you are a people manager in our business, what do we expect of you? You know, we expect you to be connected to your team. We expect you to address performance issues in a timely way. We expect you to navigate conflict and drama. We expect you to be able to have difficult conversations and handle the hard things that happen. We expect you to be actively developing your team members. So that's having things like one-on-one. So that, I think it works really nicely when you can do almost these two things in tandem, where there is almost your behavioral expectations of managers, but then you've got these real tangible things that you can really measure and hold them accountable to.
Just when you're going through that charter there, I tell you what might be useful just to dive into a little bit is, if you're listening to this and you think, oh, that sounds like a really interesting exercise to go ahead and do, I would like to bet there would be things on that charter that you would then be able to recognize. It's almost like doing a training needs analysis.
Yeah.
There'd be some things on that charter which you might then think, well, we actually haven't given our middle managers the opportunity to upskill in that area, or I don't think they've, maybe 40% of them have got the capabilities of doing that, or if they do them, they're going to do them in vastly different ways. So that exercise could be, you could almost do quite a quick and dirty training needs analysis around, could our managers actually follow through on that charter? I think that would be a really interesting exercise, because we know that, and you know, it depends on the level of experience, and there'll be, if you've got multiple middle managers, there will be people at entry level, there'll be people who've had lots of years of experience. But I think that would highlight some of the areas you may need to focus some of the efforts to get the capability levels and perform and drive up performance ultimately.
Yeah, I think with that, it's about putting enough in place that facilitates them to be able to go and start. Where we often hear businesses take that too far is, you know, I will hear people say things like, well, we can't train managers or develop managers to have performance conversations until we have created a full performance management process. And it's like, yeah, but how long? Is it going to take you 6 months to create that? Because if it is, are we just saying that managers are going to have no performance conversations in the next 6 months? So I would say it's about looking at breaking that down. What can you do now? Because first of all, we can give managers simple scripts to have performance conversations. We can give managers insight into who in their team may avoid conflict versus who may want more direct conflict. We can do role play and coaching with managers on how to handle difficult conversations. All of those things can happen without a formal performance management structure. Because let's be real, often the performance management structure comes in when we're doing things like grievances, disciplinaries, and actually if you can get managers to have difficult conversations in the small moments that often, if when they're not tackled in the small moments, they add up to the big moments that require the really formal performance management. You can do those things in tandem. It's about figuring out what can happen without waiting. Where are some of the shortcuts? Because often really what we're describing here, a lot of it is an expectation alignment. It is a training piece. It's a coaching piece. It's an accountability piece. Not much of what we've talked about today is building really extensive HR processes that follow all of this stuff.
For sure. And I think, you know, ultimately what lies underneath all of this is having a culture that your team, every team, connects to, and that, you know, you have a strong purpose and people understand what the purpose of the organization is. And really, it's not, your culture isn't what you say, it's how your people are, you know?
It's how they're acting.
It's how they're acting, it's how they are. And I think some of this stuff really does, you know, that's the golden thread that runs through it. You've got to have that also established. And I also think there's a piece around consistency in the employee experience. Otherwise, you've got challenges that one person will look at another member in a different team and feel like they're getting a totally different treatment. They get, you know, we've heard this before where people have said, well, they get taken out and they do this. And it's really about as a CEO or someone in senior leadership team, you being able to say, you know, this business is one, and the teams in this, yes, they have different objectives, they may be managing different functions, but ultimately we've got a consistent employee experience and the middle managers have the capabilities to deliver that.
100% that, because I think if you're doing anything that is aimed at driving that consistent employee experience, but you're not looking at your managers and how they behave, you're putting all of these things in place that might look nice to have, but actually you're missing the one bit that's going to drive the most consistency. It's about making sure that you're doing the right things, and managers are such a crucial part of that process. So let's wrap up with some key takeaways from today's episode. The first has to be around culture not being top down, but really focusing on it being manager driven. If every manager leads differently, you don't have one culture, you just have chaos. And consistency really starts with aligning behavior in that middle manager layer. We talked about the impact that inconsistent management has on performance, and you being able to see that in things like missed deadlines, disengaged teams, some of your top performers walking out. So this is really about making sure that you have some of those things that we talked about in the episode around consistency of expectations, consistency of processes, consistency of accountability, to make sure that those performance levels stay high. We then, all the way through, really the underlying theme was about you can't scale managers working on instinct. It has to be about scaling managers based on standards. So really looking at your business and asking yourself, what standards and foundations do we have in place for our managers? One, from a what do we want a people manager here to look like, and some of those behavioral standards. And secondly, what are some of the minimum things that we want them to do? So some of those cadences that we talked about, but really making sure that those foundation level standards are clear, so that all managers have a level of consistency, and then they can add some flexibility and behavioral strength customization to those things. But the employee experience across the board is consistent.
Thank you for listening to Misbehave. Follow us so you don't miss out on other episodes.